We've been going through the book of Ephesians, if you've been following along online, and we appreciate Pastor Ron Howerson coming to help us out. Pastor Tyler shared with us last week, and it's just a blessing to study this book together. Encourage you on your own to take some time and delve into this book. If you actually take Paul's discussion on salvation by faith in Ephesians and put it in with Romans on justification by faith, and you put those two together, you have incredible picture of what Jesus did for us. Today we're going to jump into Ephesians 4 and 5. There's a word we're going to focus on, and so let's again ask the Holy Spirit to come be with us as we look at this together. Loving Father, we give you the praise again for your word. We thank you that you gave us the Holy Spirit to be our teacher and help us understand. So we just ask for a special anointing of your Spirit today as we look at your words through your servant Paul. May we just find a way to apply it to our daily life. In Jesus' name, amen. So you've heard a bit about Ephesians. If you were listening in on the first week, you heard Pastor Ron share some background. If you were here last and checked in last time, you saw Pastor Tyler share some more background in regards to Ephesians and what was happening there. We've talked about how in the first couple chapters, you focus in on who you are in Christ. All these, you are this in Christ. You are redeemed in Christ. You're cared for. You are purchased. You're adopted in Christ. And there's a whole bunch of those if you focus in on those phrases out of chapters 1 and 2. Chapter 3 is an amazing chapter, and I praise Tyler. Thank Tyler for doing it. It's the mystery that Paul was speaking to there. And in my study and journaling here, I asked the rhetorical question to myself, is that mystery still applicable today? And the mystery was that salvation is for all people. For all people. And for a Jew, that was radical stuff. You mean it's for them? Those Gentiles out there? Yeah, all, you know, all means all. And sometimes, and I just really appreciate the presentation. I know Tyler got wound up there a little bit telling his story and some other stuff. And I'm going, yeah, it's good. So, but it is for all people. And we get the joy as his followers, his children, adopted into his family to share that. And let people know this is for you also. Whatever, you know, this journey of faith is for you also. And when you come into chapter 2, if you can get to Ephesians either on your smart device or a hard copy that's somewhere near you or you brought today, Paul begins to foreshadow this idea of walking that we're going to look at today. And in Ephesians 2, we were focusing on God's incredible mercy and love and grace for us. But there in verse 2, he says, "Don't walk as you once walked according to the course of this world." And he outlines what that looks like. And then in verse 10, he says, "For we are his workmanship," God's workmanship, "created in Christ," there you go, "created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." And I began to, I'll just hold this up here. So this is what I do that works for me. I highlight and circle and do all kinds of crazy things in my Bible to help me track some things. And so the word walk, I circled it and then highlighted it in orange. And so as I went along, I came to chapter 4. And we're going to start there in chapter 4, looking at this idea of walking like Jesus. So, and as we set this up, though, remember what Amaral read out of 1 John 2, verse 6. It says, if you say you are in Christ, you're part of Christ's family, then you need to walk like Jesus. If we take a look at John 14, so keep a finger there or a marker there in Ephesians. If we look at John 14, we find something remarkable about Jesus. John 14, verse 10 and 11. So we read, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. What we find with Jesus and the Father was they were one. They were tight. And Jesus says, I'm not saying anything on my own authority. I'm not doing anything on my own authority. I'm saying what the Father has told me to say, and I'm doing what the Father told me to do. And you think, okay, that's interesting. Let's think that through just a little bit more. You can go into Acts where it says, Peter and John, you know, we'd sing the song, Peter and John went to pray. And they're going up to the temple to worship, and there's a blind man or a lame man there begging for alms. And Peter and John say, you know, silver and gold have we none? You know, but such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. Why didn't Jesus heal that man? You see? He was there the whole time Jesus was here. We see that Jesus healed whole villages sometimes. Why didn't Jesus heal that man? And if you go and you read into this story and you dig really deep, you find that that man had been looking for Jesus to get healed. So he was trying to get to Jesus to be healed. And Jesus didn't heal him. So you look at, okay, so why was it there? Well, look what happens when Peter and John heal. It verifies, it validates their ministry. And so his healing came at a particular time that was beneficial, that was to God's glory. So Jesus could be trusted with the power to heal and the messages to say because he committed to doing what his Father had done. And so the challenge for us as we look at the passages today is, are we willing to constantly abide in Jesus? See? John 15, you are the vine, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Abide in me and I in you. That whole, are we willing to be like a vine and or be like a branch and abide in the vine? Constantly. Not 25% of the time. You know, sometimes I have a little graphic that I put up on the screen sometimes. It says, how much Jesus does it take? And so you get a picture of Jesus and you overlay it on a picture of yourself and you go up to the knee. And you can see that from the knees down is Jesus. Is that how much Jesus it takes for me to live the life that he calls me to live? So then I go waist high. Okay, I can be half Jesus, half me. That works, right? I'm half Jesus. Come on now. No, we all know that it takes 100% Jesus in me in order for me to live and breathe and walk and do the things that he asks me to do. And that's the way it was for him. So let's go back to Ephesians now and take a look at chapter 4, verse 1. It says, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. To walk, to live, to behave in such a way that when you say I'm a Christian, people go, oh, that makes sense. See? You know, you could say I'm a clean freak. This is the illustration. I'm a clean freak, and then you walk into a person's house and it's a total mess. See, that doesn't work. Like right now, if I told you that my shop was spotless and you walked into my shop, you'd go, huh, his idea of spotless is a whole lot different than it looks, okay? But that's the thing. Is it says if you say you are a follower of Christ, then you need to walk worthy of the calling. Keep looking there. What does that look like? It says, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Wow. With all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. You know, we're challenged to be peculiar people. And yes, how we eat and drink and dress and those kinds of things are important. But we are more peculiar in the fact that we can actually love other people the way Jesus loves them. That's hard. It really is. It's hard to love even yourself the way that God would want you to love yourself. To love your family the way God would want you to love your family. That's hard. And the only way to do that is allow him to love them through you. See? And sometimes, maybe some of you have experienced it. I know Kim and I have done this from time to time where we say, Lord, give us your eyes. Give us your heart for that individual or that situation. And I'll tell you the story of Bruce Marciano. Bruce Marciano was the actor that played Jesus in Matthew videos. We have some in the library. They're old enough to be VHSs. Tell you how old that it was. And but he was telling a story. I brought him in to do a teacher's training at my last school. I used to be in education for those that are getting to know me. And I got permission to have a teacher in service presented by Bruce Marciano, and it was about how to be Jesus in the classroom. So how to be Jesus. So he came and he was talking about, you know, he got typecasted in this setting, which he didn't mind, but he was talking about one scene where Jesus is to heal the leper, and the leper comes to him and say, Master, if you are willing, you can make me clean, right? And Bruce Marciano is a germaphobe. Welcome, we're glad you're here. Is a germaphobe, and so he knew in order to play this appropriately, he didn't want to touch anything. And they would hire local people from the Middle East to play these because they were on location. And, you know, they have a different hygiene than we do. And so being a germaphobe, that was a big difference there. And so he spent, what do you say, like hours, all night in prayer, just hours and hours to do this. He spent it in prayer saying, God, give me your heart for this scene. Give me what you saw when you did this. And he spent hours praying, hours praying, hours praying. And so he would then show the clip. He would talk about it, and then he would show the clip. And what you see in the clip is you see Bruce as Jesus, because it tells us in Scripture that Jesus reached out and touched him. And so Bruce Marciano reached out and touched him and just hugged him and began to cry and laugh all at the same time and just be there with him. And he says, I just want you to know that was a Holy Spirit thing, because that's not Bruce Marciano. Bruce Marciano is a germaphobe, but God gave me that heart for that situation. And that's what God wants to do for all of us. And so when you talk about walking like Jesus, he says, you're to walk in lowliness and gentleness and long-suffering and patience, bearing with one another in love, keeping the unity through the bond of peace. We can only do that, again, as I said before, by Jesus being in us. If you take a look, if you bounce back, we read it earlier, but let's just go back to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Remember, in Ephesians 1 and 2, you can go through and find out who we are in Christ. By the way, this comes from a film. I mean, it comes from Scripture. This is illustrated in a film called Courageous. They're the ones that put out like Fireproof and those kinds of things. And so if you look at the film Courageous, it's just a powerful illustration of this concept here that we're talking about. Verse 10 says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We were created for good works. And in fact, here's the challenging part of all that. In fact, good works, I'm going to walk a sticky wicket, okay? Good works is the sole criteria for entrance into heaven. Man, wait a minute. Look at Matthew 25. If you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. Okay? It's in the doing. It's in the right concept of doing. As we ask Jesus to come in and walk and do through us, that we walk and do according to his will, that we then glorify his name. Because you can also read in Matthew that there's people who said, hey, but we did this and this and this and this. And Jesus will turn to them and say, I never knew you, workers of iniquity. So we have to know Jesus personally to the point that he's living through us, doing and working through us in the community, and we will look and be different people. Okay? Colossians, let's turn to Colossians now. Again, another book of Paul's. Colossians chapter 1, verses 10 to 12. Well, let's get it back up to verse 9. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you will be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord. You see that again? Fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Look at this. You see it repeated again. We're asked to walk worthy of the call, to be faithful in good works, to increase in understanding God, to be patient and long-suffering, to live in joy. And now look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. I love this verse right here. It says, as you therefore have received Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Do you recall the day that you came to Jesus? Do you recall that moment when you said, Jesus, come into my heart, come into my life? That it changed you? I mean, I remember the day as if it were yesterday or right now. We were in Graham, and I'd been wrestling with God just incredibly. Had grown up in the faith, but it wasn't personal. And just really kind of just rejecting everything. And then being introduced to Jesus as a loving Savior was profound to me. And it was early in the morning. We were in Graham, big window, really probably two of those windows together, looking out the front of the house where the road was, and then the big field beyond that. And been wrestling with God for a long, many years, okay? And so I'm there at 5 o'clock in the morning and I'm on my knees and I look up and I look out that window and I see a train coming right at me. I went, wait. Why would there be a train? There's no train track out there. I mean, it was so vivid. I got up and went out to the window to double check that. And the Holy Spirit said, today, Dawn, today, today is your time. If you receive me, I promise, you know, to fill you and to renew you. But if you don't, then you're going to end up losing your family. It was very clear. There wasn't any gray there. I knew the choice I had to make. For Jesus, stop this playing games business. And so you remember that moment I surrendered my heart to God right there in the Graham Washington, the living room carpet, and just filled and flooded with his grace. So you remember that moment. Hope you remember that moment. It doesn't have to be that dramatic. It could be more dramatic or it could be less dramatic. But remember that day when you took Jesus into your heart. Paul is saying that's how we're to live. We're to live just like that. So that means for Don Bryan that I need to live every day looking at Jesus, beholding Jesus, letting Jesus fill me with his spirit, confessing 1 John 1:9. I need to confess. I need to believe John 6:29. I need to abide in Jesus, John 15. I need to hang out with Jesus every day. And I can pretend for a little while, and then my wife comes to me and says, "Are you doing your devotions?" Yeah. And you go, I've been being a good guy. I've been good hunting. But there's something that she picks up on that says, I'm not in the Word. And so we need to be in the Word. We need to be friends with God. We need to not forget our first love. We can't forget our first love. So I'll tell you another story. My lovely bride, Kim, in August, we will have been married 36 years. But even more than that, we met as sophomores in high school. And so we've known each other for 40 years together. And I could just talk all day about my love for her and how special she is to me and how much we've journeyed together in life. Just on and on and on. You probably get bored after a little while, but I wouldn't get bored. I'd just still go on, still keep pumping it out. That's the way it should be with Jesus. We're so in love with him, we can't help ourselves. This is another, start paying close attention to some things, okay? When you see a new person who's just received Jesus into their life, pay close attention to what they do. Okay? When's the last time you talked to Sarah Volt? She just baptized a little over a year ago. She was homeless and it was great story. Great, great, great story. Let her tell it. She'll just talk with a big smile on her face, kind of just dancing from side to side. Tyler came up one day. We were going to meet here, and she was outside cleaning. First of all, she said, "I see you on a video." So she recognized him from some videos that he was watching that he had put together. And then began to tell her story, which is an amazing story. We're going to hope to capture it sometime on video. But she just is excited and radiant, like this is the greatest thing. And that's the way we are supposed to be in our walk and love for Jesus. Well, let's keep going. Let's go back to Ephesians, this idea of walking. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to just hit some highlights here. I would encourage you to go back and study this more deeply. But Ephesians 4:17 says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind." Don't be caught up in how the world tells you to walk. Okay? Because it's futile. It's going nowhere. I share this with people sometimes. How much of the world out there, we talk about John 6:29, says the work of God is this, to believe. How much of the world out there is encouraging you to believe in Jesus? It's not there. It's work. It's work to stay focused on Jesus. It's work to look at the cross. It's work to let the distractions of the world go away and focus on Jesus. So Paul is saying, don't walk like the heathen. Don't walk like the world. Okay, that's futile. That's not going anywhere. If we keep going to chapter 5, verse 1, therefore be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love. Be imitators of God. You know, you've heard this before, maybe. Maybe you haven't. Maybe I'm too old now. But I grew up with, have four brothers. And we go to the college church. Started going to the college church when we were just little kids. So, you know, a big 2,000, 3,000 member auditorium. And we would all walk in our suits, and we would come up to the pew that we would sit in, and then we would stop. Mom would come in, because Dad's training us to be good gentlemen. Mom would come in first, and then the oldest son, and then the next, and then Dad, okay? So we all did that. And then when we get up, we would all leave. Dad would get up, and we would step aside, and Mom would come out, and then we'd all walk up there. But it was, and then we'd take Saturday walks in College Place. You know, this little town of 1,900 people, and 1,899 of them were Adventists. But we would take walks in the town, and they would say, you all walk like your dad. Well, we're little boys, you know. We want to walk like our dad, right? And so we would try to strut like our dad, and it was funny. And it's still funny now that we're older, and Dad goes like this, and we're getting to that place. Well, my brother and I found out that this last birthday we could live in the same village as Dad, because we're all like 55 and older now. And so we said, well, maybe we should just all buy. Anyway, walk like Jesus. Be imitators of God. Copy him. If you're not sure how to act in a situation, check out what Jesus did in a very similar situation and walk like that. Verse 8. For you were once dark, but now you are light in the world. Walk as children of light. Don't fumble around in the darkness. It says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Get into God's word and walk as children of light. If it's been a long time since you have been in the word, just open it up and find some of your favorite stories to read. Just begin to read little by little, and pretty soon you'll just be soaking it in. Verse 15 of chapter 5 in Ephesians. See then, that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. How would you feel about that last statement? The days are evil. We find ourselves walking in a very interesting time. I had a friend of mine call me yesterday from the islands, just, you know, what do I do? The world just seems to be going crazy. Other people who are friends on Facebook, they said, I'm just turning Facebook off. Just turning it off for a while. It's just really, really a challenging time out there. And, you know, we have to be willing to admit our errors as we've walked this path together. You know, so we can admit that somewhere along the way, Daniel did this. This is biblical. Daniel in his chapter 9 in his prayer is praying for the sins of Israel, and Daniel didn't participate in any of it. So you may say, I wasn't there when that happened or whatever, but you've got to take some ownership here. We have really been given a gift where other people haven't been given such a gift.
Talking about,
and God is in control. God has made you and I special people in him. It's not about us. It's all about Jesus. And he has the control. So let me just ask the question, how do we walk? We've read it out of the scriptures. We've heard it. I mean, we've heard it before. I did a little bit of research, just so you know. There are 64 churches in Mount Vernon, in case you were wondering how many churches there were. There are 64 churches. Pretty amazing. Just took that right out of the yellow pages. A survey done in 2017, 40% of the people in Mount Vernon, there's 36,000 people, 40% said they're religious. Well, that means there's 60% that would say otherwise. So you have roughly 1,400 people who say they're religious, 14,4. You approximately have 21,600 who say they're not necessarily religious. If you think of the national average across all churches, the national average is roughly 30% are coming to church any given weekend. 30% of the membership is coming, 30% of those who, I went off because I don't know how many are going to the various 64 churches here. I just took 30% of the 40% who say they're religious. So that would say there's 4,320 people coming to church on any given weekend, leaving 31,680 who are not attending church. We have a small group here, but God has given us a big vision to reach people in our neighborhood and in our community. We find ourselves, by the way, in the largest city in Skagit County, Mount Vernon. I know it's not just about Mount Vernon, because many of us might live elsewhere, like Kim and I live in Cedar Woolley, and not even in the city limits of Cedar Woolley. But still, Mount Vernon is where our mission field should begin. Well, if you take a look at Acts 1:8, it begins at home, and then it goes into your family and your neighborhood, and then into your community, okay? But for sake of this discussion, and we're talking about revitalization here at Mount Vernon, making things happen in the name and glory of Jesus. It's about making a difference in our personal life. We cannot share something that we don't do, that we don't have, okay? I'm going to use an illustration, might probably embarrass my wife and daughter, but sometimes they call me Dr. Max from Bride, Princess Bride, you know? They call me Dr. Max because I like to fiddle around with natural stuff that helps to build the immune system. So people are getting sniffles in our house, we take 100% cranberry juice, and we mix blackberries, blueberries, strawberry, every kind of berry in the world, and mix it up with three or four lemons and three or four limes, and we just mix it all up, and you got to knock that thing back until it's gone, okay? And we do it as a family because it helped build antioxidants and build the immune system. But then I discovered, nature's penicillin. And so nature's penicillin is basically a grapefruit and a lemon and an onion and some garlic, and you just blend it all up into a mash. And cayenne pepper. Thank you for that. That's awesome. And you just mix it all up. Jessica's not going to eat it. Okay? But you start getting serious sickness, man. You just put that in, and you take a tablespoon every couple hours of that stuff. And when COVID first came out, just want you to know, that's what we did for first 2 months, 8 weeks. We did our nature's penicillin, and we did our juice. And there's others like wasabi. If you have sinus infection, you just take wasabi and just whoo, light you up. And but I'll tell you that I take the stuff. But if I told you that and I don't ever take the stuff, then I'm just kind of blowing in the wind. I'm telling you stuff that I take and do and to help prevent illness in myself and in the family. But if I didn't, and I just told you, I heard once upon a time you could do this and such and had never tried it. That's another reason I try things, so I actually know if they work. The same thing with Jesus. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you can't share with someone else, okay? Is this walk with Jesus making a difference in your home and in your neighborhood? Do people know that you're a Christian? in your home and in your neighborhood? Is it making a difference in the workplace or in the community? So when I go out into the community, do people know that I'm a Christian? Can they tell? There's something different about, I pray, like this morning, I walked around the church and I prayed, God, put a hedge of protection around our church, number one, because we're going to meet here today. Number two, let a light shine. So as people look at the church or they drive by the church, they actually see something physical that's different. Can they say that about your, when you go to work, is it a place that reflects Jesus? Remember, we go back to John, 1 John 2, verse 6, says, he who says he abides in him himself also ought to walk just as Jesus walked. And if you really want to know, turn to Luke 4, verse 18 and 19. Jesus is actually quoting from Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. Jesus is reading from the scroll of Isaiah, and he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the good news, the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to recovery of sight to the blind, to set the at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. See, it's more than just being financially poor. It's more than being physically blind. It's more than just being physically in chains, behind iron bars, captive. It's more than just being oppressed by some other group of people. This is everything. Are you broken in your heart? Are you blind in your mind? Where do you need Jesus? And Jesus says, I have come to do this. I have come to proclaim the good news of his salvation. Okay? And if you're like me and some others, you say, man, you know, we need to be proclaiming the three angels' messages. Well, I want you could turn to Revelation 14, verse 6 if you want, but can you find out what message we just preached today? I saw an angel flying in mid-heaven having the everlasting gospel. You just heard the everlasting gospel today. First angel. And our job is to go share that with everybody out there and invite them to come in here. Come here as they're comfortable. We don't want to compel them so much that they feel harassed by coming here, but we want them to fall in love with Jesus so much that they can't help themselves but want to come here. And when someone says, oh man, the world's gone crazy, I just don't know what to do, you can say, yeah, the world has gone crazy. You know what I do? Don't tell them what they should do. Just tell them what you do. I just hang out with Jesus as much as I possibly can. I've decided to stop reading some of the books I read or watching some of the programs I watch. I just, you know, that just depresses me. I'm going to hang out with Jesus for right now, you know. That just seems to work for me. And just share that. Just share that with people, you know. I mean, I was walking down, went to the fireplace shop in Old Town Mount Vernon looking for a thing for our rental house over on the island. And we had a fireplace shop back in when I was a kid. So I walked in there and I simply said, boy, a lot has changed since 1979. And just opened a door. And I began to talk with the owner and found out that their place had burned down across at one point, and he was watching it across there. And I said, you know, that must have been real tough for you. He goes, yeah, but my pastor came and was standing there with me as we watched the people fight the fire. And for the next 2 hours on the front sidewalk of that store, he and I just celebrated Jesus together. And I climbed back in the truck. I was just so pumped. I really didn't know what to do. I went back to the church and, Lydell. Come on, why am I missing her name? Christy Lindell was secretary then at North Cascade. She says, how's it going? I said, man, I am so jazzed. I just spent 2 hours worshiping in front of the stove store in Mount Vernon. It's great. Just share Jesus with people. I know that Pastor Tyler is going to lead out in some of our discipleship programming here and give us the opportunity for us to just share Jesus there. The lesson for next quarter is dynamite. It's about how to share Jesus in the community. So I don't know if I've ever promoted a Sabbath school lesson from the front before, but I just did because I think it's going to be really cool and it really fits into what we're doing. And so we want to just invite you to come here. We're going to start meeting like this for a while and keep yourself healthy. You know, do the things to stay healthy so you can come. And if you are feeling sick at all, please don't come. Even though we love to have you here, just don't for the sake of all of us. But come from week to week and we'll fellowship together and get back into the mode of this. And if you see the red truck here and during the week and you're driving, just pull in. Happy to talk with you, pray with you, that kind of thing. So, yeah, we're glad you're here today. Take Jesus with you. Keep him in your heart. Walk. There's a song. Remember the song we used to teach maybe in Cradle Roll? Do you know, Christian, you're a sermon in shoes? Why do we stop singing that? You ever wonder why we, I'm too old for that now. Really? Really? I think we probably should sing that all the time. Do you know, a Christian, you're a sermon in shoes, you know? So, challenge. Let's pray. Loving Father, we give you the glory and thank you for being willing to just take this rag, tattered person and remake us into who you would want us to be. In our sphere of influence and the job that you've placed us or in maybe our retirement years, you just work through us wherever you need us to be. Help us to be willing. Help us to spend the time with you so that we get to know you so much better than we do now. And as we go through the rest of this Sabbath day, Lord, we just give you the praise and the glory for that gift. In Jesus' name, amen.